You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel, your host on Dishin' and Swishin'. And one of my favorite coaches to talk to, somebody who has been a regular on Dishin' and Swishin' before, but this is her first visit on Hoopfeed. So I'm pleased to welcome the coach of the Maryland Terrapins, Brenda Fries, to the new Dishin' and Swishin'. Coach, how are you today?
Oh, I'm great, David, and thank you so much. I always enjoy being on your show.
Well, Coach, let's start right off by talking about this year's team. And I think that it has not just been the success of the team that has caught people's eye going undefeated thus far, but it's the way that you're just dismantling most of these opponents. The team is playing at such a high level.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a credit to this team and the players, obviously. I mean, their work immediately started after last season, the disappointment of the loss in the NCAA tournament against Georgetown. And credit to these players. I mean, they worked extremely hard in the off season, and, it's been a fun team to coach. I mean, they're hungry, they're motivated, they're driven, and you can see, obviously, as a result, that they've just stayed in the moment and a dream come true to be able to coach.
Boy, and Alyssa Thomas, just when you think that, she put up such incredible numbers and was so good last year, she seems to just have gotten even better. And, the all facets of the game, what jumps out at you is, she's got the 16 points a game, but, hey, 33 assists and 17 steals?
You know, it's funny that you said. I made the comment yesterday to our staff. I said, I can't believe how much better Alyssa's gotten. You know, I kind of thought at some point she might kind of tap out in terms of how talented she already was. And she made a move yesterday with the body control now that she has just been unbelievable. And she's playing at a level where she's, setting the bar for this team and raising it and comes every day. And, again, I mean, it's somebody that, is really enjoyable to coach because she's so driven.
Well, while we're talking about Alyssa, I just want to ask the question. So the holiday tournament is coming up, and now is Alyssa going to be the one that Matt has to match up with Deladon if it gets that far?
Well, I think it's going to have to be by committee and by team with Elena Del Don. And, you got to show me someone who's playing better than her this season. I mean, leading the country in scoring and really just does it all. A matchup nightmare at 6-5 and how she's, leading her Delaware team. I mean, just a special, special talent. And it's going to take a group team defensive effort if we're fortunate enough to be able to play against Delaware and Elena. And but it's a matchup that I know our team would welcome.
Boy, I'll tell you, you put some of the talent on both of these teams. I mean, it'll be fun to see, assuming that this does happen, of course, it'll be fun to see how Delaware plays against a big team because, they haven't played anybody up to your status so far. So that'll be very interesting, especially when you have the athletes that can cover all sides of the court and all at both ends of the court like your team can.
Yeah, I would say from Delaware's end, though, they have had some impressive wins, against Wake Forest, Penn State, Princeton, really well-coached teams, and, they're doing their thing. I mean, they are impressive to watch on film. I've obviously done an early scout on them because they are having a terrific year, and, they're doing, a lot of great things.
Getting back to your team, though, now one of the things that is very interesting is the way that you have handled this whole Lynetta Kaiser thing. And, she was suspended early on, people know, for reasons that are strictly private, and that's perfect. I love when that happens with kids. But, you've done a good job. She's getting back in the lineup, but you haven't been starting her, and her minutes have been limited, and she's easing her way back into the team. That's for and getting their confidence back.
She is, and, credit from both ends, credit to Lynetta in terms of how she's returned. She's stayed, humble and hungry and has understood, obviously, the groove of this team, and we're 11-0 right now and, where we're at. And, credit to her teammates. I mean, they did a lot of the heavy work, early on against Georgetown, a convincing 20-point win without her. So, you know, I think, you know, in hindsight, I mean, this team really grew in the three games that they didn't have her a part of it, that, somewhat the irony of it made us a better team. So what an addition, obviously, to have Lynetta Kaiser coming in off the bench. And, oh, by the way, she's your second leading scorer, and to be able to get that kind of firepower off your bench.
You know, and then you have some of the others that have been contributing, and, you know, Lauren Mincy, everybody expected, you know, a lot of the other things, but I personally did not expect to see this kind of offensive output out of her. I mean, she's really been scoring at a prolific pace so far this year.
Lauren Mincy, most improved player on our team, and we've had quite a few players, obviously, that have improved given the success that we've had this year, and somebody obviously is turning into a go-to player for us. Can take the difficult shots, can knock down the three, has the pull up, and then on top of that is night in and night out, defending the best player on the opposing team and doing a tremendous job. And I don't think I've seen a growth of any player I've coached as quickly as I have with Lauren Mincy. But a credit to her, again, coming back, doing the work. Nice to be able to see her healthy now. You know, she was coming in last year off of her ACL, and, I mean, she's 100% healthy and really doing the things as, you know, an All-American player coming out of high school, playing at that type of level.
You know, as exciting as it is this year to look at the team with, you know, seniors, Kaiser and Barrett, and you got to be looking at this team and saying, wow, you know, I've got Devon as a sophomore and Kaiser. Mincy is a sophomore and Mosley's a freshman. And then I've got Rutan coming in to go with Thomas, too. It's going to be an exciting next couple of years for Maryland.
Well, you know, it is exciting, and we feel like, you know, credit to our coaching staff. They've worked extremely hard in the recruiting process, you know, be able to go out and sign another top 10 recruiting class. And, you know, really we've set the bar high here at Maryland and is at a level where we expect and we want to be at. And, just working hard to be able to bring the type of talent plus the type of chemistry into this program that, we feel can be, you know, extremely successful here.
Well, I wanted to talk about the conference with you for a second here. And, you know, you sit there and you look at the preseason order and you look now at the current top 10. Okay, you see Duke. You know, everybody's used to Duke up there. But you got Maryland, you got Miami, you got Florida State playing well. North Carolina, though, seems to be a little bit on a downturn, you know, which nobody's ever used to seeing. Things are all over the place with this conference this year.
Well, it's definitely, you know, you're seeing some shifts, obviously, but, you know, I still think it's too early to be seen. I mean, this is the first year that we're going to a 16 conference game schedule, so you're going to see us, you know, all kind of beating up on each other. I think you have to factor in, what each other's schedule looks like. I know for us, I mean, our doubles this year are everyone in the top half of the league. So we're going to know here quickly when we're playing, the top half of our league twice where we stand. And everyone's schedule, you know, within the conference is different. So in terms of how it's mirrored. But, you look at the kind of year Miami's having and Duke and, the depth of our conference, obviously. And I think on any given night, anyone can beat anyone.
Yeah, you mentioned the 16 games this year, and now, of course, they're talking 18 next year.
Yeah.
By the way, give us back our teams up in the Big East, will you? You really guys don't need them, unless you want to take Connecticut.
I have no control over any of that. I'm just happy to be in a conference.
But to have 18 games in conference, I mean, as is, you only play a dozen, and you try to schedule a couple of very good teams, and you know, you're going to be up here next year in the Jimmy V we'll talk about. That's got to be really tough to try and make some commitments for some good home-and-home possibilities with some of the better programs and even to schedule some of the lesser programs that you want to build with. Plus, you try to, of course, play locals.
Right.
So how do you make all this work?
Well, it's tough. I mean, obviously, a week ago, we found out that we were moving to 18 conference games, so we had to, revamp our scheduling on the fly, literally, you know, because we were finished. So, you know, that's a tough element, as well as, like you're talking about, when you're playing 18 conference games and you're beating up on each other, you know, how many out of non-conference opponents are you going to take, BCS-type schools, when you're playing an 18-conference game schedule. So it's a difficult blend. I think you have to know your team and you know, are you young or old, and what can they handle. But definitely, you know, it's a difficult dynamic.
You know, one question that I'd like to ask you, and I know that I'm sort of moving off to a different area that we don't have to go to if you don't want to. But a couple weeks ago, I had Tricia Collip on from Toledo, and I previewed in both her and Matt Bowen, and we talked about the Green Bay Toledo series and the fact that they both were playing each other twice this year. As a home and home between two mid-majors from other conferences, and her comment to me was that they're on the do not play schedule now, where teams don't want to go to Toledo, and they aren't so sure that they only want them to come possibly to their places. And she said that it's just very hard to get some of the bigger conference schools to schedule the higher quality mid-majors. Is that something that, you know, in your situation as one of the power teams, do you find that it's difficult to try and find places for these games against some of those teams? Or is it, how much weight does playing locals go into playing in your schedule? Because obviously some of them, i.e. a Towson and a Loyola, aren't quite as good as a Toledo or a Green Bay.
Well, you know, first of all, I can see why no one wants to play Tricia Collip. And I say that because I'm very good friends with her, and she's done a heck of a job at Toledo. And, you know, I think, you know, the hard thing is when you look at a Toledo, Wisconsin, Green Bay, Bowling Green, Marist, those are all mid-major programs that can easily, you know, beat a BCS school on any given night. And then it makes it that much harder, obviously, going into their venue. So, you know, the question is, when you're scheduling, you know, can your team handle that type of environment and you know, in terms of going on the road? So, you know, again, it's a blend in your schedule in terms of, you know, how you're creating it. For us, you know, the element we have where we live in Maryland, you know, we have a dozen schools within an hour of us. So when you talk about going around the Beltway, and then you talk about the local flavor, our fans can travel a bus trip. You know, you don't have to pay an expense to stay overnight, bus up the day of. Those are easy decisions for us because we want to, you know, continue those in our area. We feel like, you know, those are games we want to be able to market and sell in our area. But I think every program's different, obviously, given where you're at in that season with your team.
Yeah, and one thing that's obvious about your program that doesn't play is, I mean, you actually do go out on the road and play some of these other programs. I mean, because, like you were talking about, you know, this year alone, UMBC and going to American, going to George Mason, you know, it's not just, you know, okay, you got to come to me or we're not playing you. You know, you guys are going out on the road and playing the locals too, which is great for them, and great for them to have programs like Maryland coming in and selling tickets there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we get their biggest game, the biggest shot when we play, you know, because these local teams, their players are excited about this matchup, home and on the road. And, you know, two or three years ago, we went to Towson, and Joe Matthews and his staff had his team ready, and they beat us. They upset us. And so, I mean, we absolutely feel with those in-state rivalries and the excitement of it all, I mean, they're great games for us. So we have to prepare extremely well to be able to go on the road and compete in those venues.
And now you get to go shopping for next winter and plan on trips to Syracuse and Pitt. not where I want to go in January, I have to say.
Well, you know, we're obviously excited about them coming into the league, and you know, two great programs. I mean, give us a national window visibility wise. I mean, for us, two markets where we definitely recruit from. So we feel like it's a win-win. We go to Boston College every year, right. So we're used to the snow. So, but again, you know, I'm excited for them coming into our league.
Well, this year you do get a break. You get to stay warm this year. You don't have to go to Boston
we
College.
We do. Yeah, we
you're
do.
Always, you're always staying down at the. You're only going to the Southern schools in the conference.
That's right.
That's
absolutely
a good thing. I'd say that has to be a benefit.
That's a great thing.
And it's got to be nice also when you look at your schedule. You know, it's tough early, that's for sure, with going, you know, starting right out on the road at Florida State, and then after Georgia Tech at home, going right to North Carolina and Miami. But you got to be happy playing Miami, Duke, and Carolina at home as three of your last five games.
Yeah, you know, the conference is kind to us. I mean, we open up with three out of the four to start on the road. You know, I mean, like you alluded to, we have Miami, Duke, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, all twice this year. So, what I'm excited about is when we get through this conference schedule this year, which by far of anyone in our conference is the toughest, we will be ready for postseason play. And, you know, the ACC tournament and the NCAAs, our conference schedule will prepare us for that. So, you know, we've got to get ready, obviously, to play on the road. You know, I mean, three out of four to start out with, and the teams that we're playing are very difficult matchups. So, you know, we'll see early, obviously, where we're at, you know, with the schedule.
Coach, another thing I just wanted to touch base on is, you know, in thinking about the fact that, you know, this show is the Christmas show, and then next week I have the end of the year. And, you know, I was trying to think about the year in review, and to me, the one word that seemed to come up again and again when I was thinking about things was awareness, that people became so much more aware of so many different things in following, you know, all sports and basketball and all. And, of course, you know, in women's basketball, we've been touched by the Pat Summitt situation and people becoming so much more aware of the things that go with Alzheimer's. But, you know, one of the things that you had started, of course, was the awareness with Tyler getting sick. But you went that step further this year and actually got involved in the whole pharmaceutical company's inability to provide proper medicines in the way that you wrote to your got Congress involved. And, you know, that's something that's really, you know, you did this in October when people are getting ready for the start of the season. I mean, to find time for all that is something that you certainly really deserve to be commended for.
Well, you know, I appreciate you saying that, but I feel like, you know, we've got a long ways to go. And, you know, obviously I feel like, you know, the voice that I have, I mean, when my son Tyler was diagnosed with leukemia, and to be able to now shed light, you know, on cancer and leukemia, we have continued strong on that. And I think, you know, out of that came, you know, gaining the information and the knowledge of the drug shortages. And, you know, when I read it and learned about it, I was just in shock. And, you know, I think for me, the perspective is, you know, although my son is doing extremely well and, you know, he's going through this course, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that I still have a voice and a way to be able to put a message out there. And so I feel like, you know, from my end, I want to continue and be an advocate in so many areas that I can shed light upon. And that was kind of, you know, it hit me one morning when I was reading it in the Post and felt like that was the next step. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at, but just continuing to fight in a lot of different areas.
Oh, man, Tyler and Marcus are just two of the cutest kids in basketball today, I got to tell you.
Well, thank you for saying that. They're almost four, and I couldn't agree more with you that it's an amazing age. And, you know, they're getting ready for Santa Claus. And, you know, to see the lens every day through your boy's eyes, and, you know, when I pick them up from school, and, you know, how many times a day they tell me they love me. And, you know, you couldn't ask for a better age, you know, just trying to soak it all up and appreciate every single moment with them.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing all the pictures and things that you do on Twitter at all. You know, we love them. They're so much fun.
Oh, Absolutely. They make it easy.
Well, now the next thing that goes along with this is I want to talk to you for a second about next year and the trip to Connecticut. And I can't think of two teams that are better matched up to play in the Jimmy V than Maryland and Connecticut.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this has been something, obviously, for a couple years that we've been talking about, you know, between Maryland and Connecticut. It just hadn't worked out in our schedule. Hard to believe that neither program has played each other. You know, in my tenure, I have not played against Connecticut. And when Carol Stiff and ESPN called and you know, wanting us to be in the Jimmy V and being able to have the opportunity to play Connecticut in a home-and-home series, too good to be, you know, I mean, for us, I mean, just, you know, we're excited, obviously, about that opportunity and to be able to go up to Storrs next year, play in, you know, the Jimmy V Classic, something that obviously has impacted me and our family, but has impacted so many lives. And we just feel fortunate to be a part of it.
And although I'm sure that your memories of the XL Center aren't exactly the best.
You know, they aren't, but, you know, we weren't playing Connecticut then.
Playing the Arminty Price show that night.
Oh, absolutely. And she was fabulous that night. But, you know, I mean, we are extremely excited. Obviously, you know, Connecticut is going to have even a better team next year, which is a scary thought given the year that they're having. But, you know, I know, you know, we're excited about the opportunity and the matchup.
Well, it should be fun. It should be fun, and it should be fun for the remainder of this year, too, Coach. I mean, I think that the team that you've put together a team. It's not just individuals or component parts. I mean, you've got a team there that they're, you know, what I've seen has been very impressive in the way that they all seem to be really in tune with each other. And it's not just, you've got certainly the talent and the stars in Thomas and Kaiser in particular, of course, but as I mentioned, it's everybody is picking up the slack, and people like Mincy are really stepping up, as well as, you know, they're playing very mature for very young.
They are a dream come true to coach. I mean, tremendous chemistry. I mean, obviously, when you look at our statistics, when we have five players averaging in double figures, we're sharing the basketball, extremely unselfish. And, you know, they just come, you know, ready every single day. What's fun is we just continue to challenge them and raise the bar and motivate them, and they really have bought into it. And those are your special teams. I mean, no doubt about it. But it's early. It's still December. And, you know, we want to hopefully be talking about Maryland in this same light come March and April. And we've got to stay the course, and hopefully great things will happen for this team.
Well, I think that definitely we're looking at a team that could make quite a run in the tournaments and make a legitimate run at the ACC title, which, of course, comes first, as we all know, talking about these conferences. Coach, I want to wish you a great holiday, and I want to wish you continued success on and off the court with the things that you represent and the things that you're doing.
Well, thank you, David, so much, and happy holidays to you as well, and you know, happy holidays to everyone out there.
Hi, I am Cynthia Cooper, newly named to the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hey, everybody, David Siegel on Dishin' and Swishin', and, you know, yesterday I talked to one of my favorite coaches, Brenda Fries, who has Maryland riding real high, undefeated at this point. And I have one of my other favorite coaches right now. Matthew Mitchell of Kentucky is taking a break from a holiday party that he has with his team and his coaches right now to talk to us. And the Wildcats are off to an incredible start. And, Coach, welcome back to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Thanks, David. It's great to be back with you, and always appreciate you spending some time with me. Thanks a lot.
Coach, you know, you lost Dunlap, and, you know, you were supposed to take a little bit of a step back to start the season. But, you know, it's not just that you guys have been winning games, but you've been really taking care of business.
Yeah, we're off to a good start. We've had some very good games and some good wins up to this point, and I've been so pleased with our players. And, you know, they've had to work hard, not only once the season got going, David, they had to work very, very hard to get prepared for this season. And they worked their way into fantastic shape, and they became close to the team. And so really proud of what we're doing now, and also very excited on what I believe the team can eventually become.
Well, when I had the round table towards the start of the season, you know, one of the things that I commented at the time was I really thought that Kentucky was underappreciated when it came to the rankings, and that this team is going to be a very strong contender again to go all the way to the Elite Eight as it had done in the past. One of my favorite players to watch when she was healthy 2 years ago, and you know, now that she's back, she brings so much to the table and makes things, I'm sure, so much easier for you. Can you talk for a second about the return of Amber Smith and getting her back into the lineup?
Absolutely, David. We're so pleased that she's back and she's doing well and having a good season. And she just brings experience. She brings a point guard's mentality and just can run our offense and get the ball where it needs to be, and just brings a lot of energy to the team. So been a tough, tough career for her from an injury standpoint with two ACL tears, and just so happy she's been able to bounce back and fight her way through that, and it's difficult to do. But she's back, and I still think improving and getting better, and she has been a welcome addition to this year's team after a year's absence last year.
And I'm sure that one person that was saying, hallelujah, welcome back, because it has turned Adia Mathis back into a shooting guard, and she's already been National Player of the Week, and she's off to an amazing start in her own right.
Yeah, David, I think that Adia is probably one of the best players in our conference and probably one of the best players in the country, and she just has that kind of talent. And I think she's grown some this year. I think she is accepting more of a leadership role on our team. I think she is committed on both ends of the floor. She's one of the top players in our league, if not the top, in steals per game. And I think at one point or another this season was in the top 10 nationally in steals per game. And so she's a player that can impact the game in several different ways. She's been an incredible offensive rebounder for this year. So that's what made Victoria so special, David. It's sort of a centerpiece of our team. She could impact games offensively, defensively, rebounding. And Adia is developing into that sort of centerpiece of the team where she can help you win in different ways. She doesn't just have to score to do it. So we love players like that here at Kentucky. We love versatility. And we obviously love it when our players are committed on the defensive end.
No, it was just last year that I think we were talking about Jennifer O'Neill and saying, you know, that you were so excited to get your first McDonald's All-American. And say, I'm looking down here. What do we got? Four on the roster now already? And
yeah.
This group that you got in, these youngsters are really got to be a lot of fun and exciting to coach.
You know, we have so much young talent on the team. I think that is very exciting. And we are a team where a majority of our talent is in the sophomore and freshman class. And so that, I think that speaks well for our future. And I think that is something we need to build upon. And I just think it's a credit to the atmosphere that exists around Kentucky right now. And a lot of people have worked long and hard to try to help create that from our assistant coaches who just work tirelessly in recruiting. Our administration gives us the means to promote our team, and this community's really, really embraced women's basketball, and we have fantastic crowds and fantastic a venue to play in. And I just think that right now is an exciting time for a kid that really wants to come and have a great experience and have a chance to play in an up-tempo, open court type style. That Kentucky is an exciting time, exciting place. It's an exciting time.
Well, you know, and then you guys are sitting there, and you know, you already got, you know, Summit and Landers, and all these, you know, now they bring in Caldwell to turn around some things at LSU. And so what the hell, let's bring in Gary Blair and put you in with Texas A&M next year too.
Yeah, that's an exciting addition to the league. I have so much respect for what Coach Blair has been able to do at Texas A&M, really going there and taking a program that had not won a game in the conference and just methodically and just day after day working hard and increasing the talent level on the team and eventually being a national champion. I just have so much respect for that. And I think that Texas A&M is a perfect fit for the Southeastern Conference. I think there's so many advantages to bringing them in, and certainly in women's basketball, it does nothing but add value to our league.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that description you had there, were we talking about him or were we talking about your career path there? About building that.
Well, listen, we are still chasing and hunting down a championship, and you know, we would love to be SEC champions. We would love to win a national championship here at Kentucky, and we certainly think that our administration's given us an opportunity to do that. So we just have to keep working hard and stay focused and continue to improve. And I'm very excited about our future here.
Coach, if you could talk briefly for a second on the freshmen themselves that have come in. I mean, in what I've seen, you know, Goss and Bishop in particular have really jumped out at me as some potentially very special talents.
Yeah, well, what you'd like to do in recruiting, I think, is always bring in players who can become valuable members of the program. And I think we've done that with all three of our players. And you know, Brashe Ali has not been able to get as many minutes and as the other two, but I still think she's a young player that when she is fully committed and working hard can eventually make a real difference here for us. She's a tremendous athlete and has a lot of ability. And, you know, Asia has shown some real flashes of brilliance and had a strong game, and we needed it in against Duke. And a little bit inconsistent right now, and that happens with post players from time to time, David. That transition from high school to college is a little more difficult but for a post player than a guard. But I think that if she will – keep her right frame of mind and really, really get committed, she has as much ability and talent as I think any post player in that class, and I think she can become a really frontline, top of the conference type player for us before she leaves. And then Bria Goss, it's very rare to have a kid come in that sort of has it all, has the full package as a freshman, and you know she doesn't have an awful lot of weaknesses, David. She's just a spectacular, spectacular player, and we're very, very fortunate she chose to come to Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, in particular, I loved watching on the Bishop front. I loved watching that Bishop Williams matchup. I think that's going to be a lot of fun as they mature. And now you got my girl Samari back finally on the court. I mean, I'm
very excited about that.
Happy as can be to get on that court finally in a game, not just practicing.
Yeah, it was. I think it's always tough for kids to sit out, but I think it was the best thing for her, and she is motivated and extremely talented, and I think you're going to see Samari Walker have a tremendous career at Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm glad to see that. I think that she went to a great spot for her, and I think that it's really going to work out. And, boy, you certainly have one coming in next year, a transfer in Stallworth.
Yeah, she is awfully talented and a great kid and has worked extremely hard. And, you know, just about every day you see her at times. She's, you know, without question the best player on the court. So that's going to help us for the future and really going to improve us because she's so talented. But she's worked hard too, David, and we're really, really glad she's here. And I think her skill set's pretty unique, a big player like Denisha doesn't come around very often. She can really shoot the ball from outside. Her ball handling is really, really improving. And she has already a solid post game that's also improving. So she will be a tremendous addition for us next year.
But, Coach, on this year, though, you know, what are we going to do about these foul shots?
well, Well, we just have to try to stay focused and work hard every day and see if we can improve in that area. And I think that's going to be
If I'm going to praise you about everything else, I got to get you on something.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt. I mean, there's always something to work on, and that's something we'll definitely have to work on. You're right.
Coach, one last thing I have to touch on is now the SEC is facing so much this year in terms of publicity and most of it not the kind that you really want because of the situation with Coach Summit.
Yeah.
How difficult also is it? You've got a team that's a legitimate contender to win the SEC, no question, and it's becoming the routine now that you're right there. How difficult is it to prepare a team just for under the circumstances of knowing everything that's going on off the court around a game against Tennessee, in addition to preparing for the team itself?
Well, I think that the first thing that we need to do as a women's basketball community and as Southeastern Conference members in particular, because when you really think about it, David, Pat Summit has elevated women's basketball nationally to an incredible, incredible level that probably people didn't even think was possible. And certainly for our conference, she has just year after year been so excellent that it has really made everyone in our conference work extremely hard just to be competitive. And so, by her hard work has elevated our conference to, clearly one of the top women's basketball conferences. And historically, really no one's ever been better. So I think we need to support her efforts to raise awareness about early onset dementia and Alzheimer's. And I think that we all as coaches in this league have a duty to support her foundation and do everything we can to raise money for research and see if we can find a cure for this disease. And I think that's where you start. And then our league's done a great job. We're going to have a week-long focus where all the women's and men's teams are going to get behind Coach Summit and her foundation, and that's an initiative driven by our league. And I think that'll be a great week in January where we can really focus on trying to help people like Coach Summit and through her leadership is trying to bring awareness to it. So I think we definitely need to participate in that, and I think all the schools are going to try to raise a bunch of money and help out there. And so I don't see any reason why we can't be very supportive of this endeavor and then also remain very, very competitive. And that's what Coach Summit wants, and that's what she said when she first announced it. She wants this to be a season where the focus, as it should always be, is on the players on the court and the competition on the court. And so I don't see the two being difficult to manage at all. I think our players are certainly aware of all the contributions Coach Summit's made and the battle she's facing and are supportive of that. But then once the games start, David, I think that the players definitely want to win, and I don't see it being difficult at all to manage both.
Well, Stanford sure proved that last night. How about that game from Agumake?
Yeah, that was pretty special. It's pretty unbelievable, and when you get a player that talented, that hot, it's just – virtually impossible to stop them once they get in that kind of rhythm. So that was very impressive.
All right, Coach. Now, I've been thinking about this. Okay, now we've gone 2 years in a row now. So now I think the next year you got to come out with the cape on like James Brown.
Okay.
And slowly come out and then throw that cape off and start dancing at opening night.
A very good idea, David, and I need some good ideas because I don't know if we can keep up with this deal anymore. I don't know, so I will put that one in the suggestion box.
Got to go throwback here. Salute the history. Go with James Brown.
Definitely, that's a great suggestion.
Have Calipari catch the game.
That'd be great,
Coach. I want to wish you the best of luck, and I want to wish you and the family a very, very happy holiday season. congratulations on that adorable little bundle you got there.
Thanks so much, David, and to you and all your listeners. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, and happy holidays to everybody out there, and I look forward to us visiting again sometime.
You take care, and good luck, and conference play starts. Time to start having some fun.
We're looking forward to it, David. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.